Eres. Por eso Vaughan ha desarrollado las clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%. Contrata las clases telefónicas de inglés de Vaughan para tu empresa. Llama al 911-335-831 o entra en grupovaughan.com. Son más productivas con Richard Vaughan.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello and welcome. Good morning. Good morning. Hello again. Here we are. 7:30 in the morning, eh? Rise and shine. Yes. Rise and shine. Yes, it's another wonderful day, a wonderful morning, and there's no reason to be pessimistic. There's no reason not to look forward to today as a positive, constructive, productive day. So good morning. Good morning. It's good to have you here. Good morning to you and to me. I have to wish myself a good morning, but I've been up, let's see, at 7:30, I've been up for almost 2 hours. Yeah, I get up at 5:40, have a long, slow American thermal coffee, caressing the coffee for 45 minutes as I surf the web and catch up on the news. Catch up on the news. Ponerme al día con las noticias. Bueno, catch up significa que estoy retrasado con las noticias. Of course, which is not really true. It's simply the morning. But we say that expression, catch up on. I need to catch up on the news, ponerme al día. And that's what I do. Yes, to catch up on. And remember, to brush up on. Many, many people who know English quite well in Spain say, I want to brush up my English. No. Say, pulir un poco el inglés is not to brush up your English. It's to brush up on your English. So remember that. If you say brush up my English, I hear you making a mistake. And I realize, pues sí, hace falta que lo pulas. Tú, amigo. Yes, so brush up on and to catch up on. So I spend an hour probably catching up on the news. During the coronavirus question, I miss the sports. The sports are coming back now. Baseball's coming back. NBA basketball is coming back. Spanish football is coming back. So things are back now. And so I can follow the sports a little bit more than before, which was nothing. All right. What shall we do today? Any idea? La mayoría de las veces lo hago yo mismo. Most of the time, recuerden singular, I said this yesterday. Most of the time, la mayoría del tiempo, in English. Most of the time. And between now and tomorrow's class, I want you to say aloud 5 sentences with most of the time. For example, most of the time I have breakfast in a bar. Or, most of the time I have breakfast at home. Most of the time, pronunciándolo bien, most of the time, así se pronuncia, most of the time. Ningún nativo dice most of the time. Todos los nativos, 100% de las veces, most of the. British, Australian, American, Canadian, New Zealanders, and Irish, and Jamaicans, and South Africans, and even the Indians, the people in India. who speak English almost like natives. They say, most of the time I do my radio show here in my little hideout. Most of the time, the people in Spain, well, no, most of the time I enjoy taking walks. Not always. Most of the time I enjoy going to the dentist. Really? Yeah, most of the time, sure, yeah. Why is that? Because the dentist, she's very attractive. Oh? Yeah, you have a female dentist, yes. She's very attractive. And she, when she's working on my teeth, she gets very, very close. And so I enjoy it. Said, hurt me all you want. Hurt me all you want, etc. So, but she wears a mask, of course, and so I can't see all of her, but so most of the time, it's not true. My dentist isn't female, it's male. Nice guy, good dentist, by the way, as well. But in any case, most of the time, remember that. La mayoría de las veces lo hago yo mismo. Most of the time, I do it myself. And why do you do it yourself? Why? Well, it's very clear. If I don't do it myself, it's not going to be done right. Oh, really? Yeah. If you want something to be done right, do it yourself, right? Yes. In certain cases, yes. Really, Richard? Do you believe that? Yes. I agree with that saying. In a company, for example, if you want something to be done right, do it yourself is a correct adage. A correct what? A correct adage. Well, what's adage? I've never heard adage. What word is that? Well, you have the same word in Spanish. What's that? Adagio. Hombre, yo he dicho adagio una vez en mi vida. Well, I say it. Adage. Adage. Proverbio adagio. Un adagio. What is un adagio? Dos adagios. Tres. A Spanish definition. De la RAE. Adagio. Sentencia breve. Y la mayoría de las veces, moral. Okay. All right. También en música, adagio. But that's an Italian word. Adagio. Movimiento lento de composición musical. Da, 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 da. Here we are, da, da, etc. That's adagio. Going slowly. So, if you want something to be done right, do it yourself is correct if your company is very small. Very, very small. In which case you could be the only employee of the company, or maybe one or two other people. You know, mientras puedas, while you can, do it yourself. But if you do things well, even and you do it yourself, there's a problem because the company will grow. Because you're doing things well. You're doing things right. And so when the company grows, there comes a moment in which you can no longer do things yourself because you simply don't have enough time, enough energy, enough know-how to do everything yourself after a certain point in a company's growth, in which case you need to start delegating. And what's the secret of successful delegation? Easy, man. The secret of successful delegation is finding outstanding people who are not too ambitious. Oof, that's hard. Yes, you can find. There are a lot of people who don't want to be their own bosses. There are a lot of people, but you have to pay them well. And you have to, pay them. You have to pay them a good salary. In line with their talent and their potential. And then at the same time, you have to give them cancha, as you say. You have to give them, ¿cómo se dice eso? Bueno, cancha de fútbol is a football field or a football pitch. But darling, you have to give them, uy, ¿cómo se dice eso? I know how to say that in English. Give them room. Yeah, give them room. Cancha. Yeah, to give them room to work. Room is habitación, cuarto. But room also is espacio. That is espacio. Give them room. Give them room to work. Give them space. Yeah, dame cancha. Quiero más cancha. Para desplegar mis talentos. I want to deploy my talents. Okay. Well, yes. If you can learn how to recognize the right attributes and find people who are not too self-centered and aggressively ambitious, but at the same time possess a nice skill set, a good skill set, conjunto de habilidades, it is a skill set, then you're very fortunate. Well, you're not fortunate. In the beginning, you're very fortunate, but if you learn how to recognize these qualities and attributes in people, then you it's not a question of luck, it's a question of skill. You have the ability to recognize these things, and you have to provide leadership, because people in general like to be led, and they like to be well led, and they become enthusiastic, or they ilusionada, as you say. Esta palabra ilusionado me trae por el camino de la amargura, because it's so different. Ilusionado, it's difficult to translate that. Excited. They get excited. Inspired. Inspirados. Because illusion in English is espejismo. Es algo típico de un iluso. Un iluso sufre ilusión o ilusiones. So when you say, me hace ilusión verte, in Spanish, in English, don't use illusion. Illusion. Optical illusion. Ilusión óptica. It's something you don't see. It's un espejismo. It's not really there. It's only an illusion. Happiness? I want to be happy in life. Richard, happiness is only an illusion. What do you mean? Forget it. You'll never be happy, because happiness is simply an illusion. Johnny, don't tell Richard that. Why do you tell him that? Why do you try to? You're a party pooper. A party pooper. Es un agua fiestas. Come on, don't tell him that. When people tell you things, don't necessarily believe them. Hmm? When people try to dissuade you, well, sometimes they're right. No metas, no compres un descapotable. Don't buy a convertible. You're not, you'll love it the first 2 weeks, and after that, no. Don't buy a convertible. Maybe you should listen to that person. Don't invest all your money in real estate. Diversify your investments. Well, in that case, maybe the person is right. The person is dissuading you, but in many cases, follow your heart. Follow your heart. And if you follow your heart, you're going to make mistakes. Yes. You're going to make... If you buy a convertible, this descapotable, well, you'll learn never again. And so you're a more intelligent person after making that mistake. But it's strange, because most people don't learn until they make the mistake. They can receive 20,000 different opinions against the idea, but they don't really learn until they suffer it themselves. As you say in Spanish, en carne propia. And then they learn. Ya está, ya sé, que no. Yeah. Well, in my case, no. I suffer, but I don't learn. I stumble on the same stone every time. Yes. Generosity. Yes. To be generous. La generosidad. To be generous. Se te revuelve en contra. And so, I was talking about that the other day. No good deed goes unpunished. Ninguna buena obra sale indemne de un castigo. No good deed goes unpunished. And it's usually true, eh? But I can't help it. No lo puedo evitar. My mother was very generous. I'm very generous. My daughter and my son, both of them, my children are very generous. And we pay a price for that. But you know, being the opposite not being generous. I think over a lifetime is a much harder price. Because I think you're less happy. You're less happy. And it happens all the time. Whenever I'm very, very generous with a person, the person ends up not appreciating it, really. Or the person feels, I don't know. When a person feels indebted for money or any type of favor, a lot of people don't like that. Inside, deep down, they feel resentment. Resentment towards the person who has been generous. But it's strange. That's my conclusion. I'm not sure. But I've noticed this all my life. And I can't help it. I'm generous. I'll continue being generous until the day I die. And I'll continue getting kicked in the ribs because of it. But I repeat, I think that's a better approach to life than the opposite. And these are not extremes. I'm not talking about extremes of generosity and extremes of tacañería, como se dice, racanería, the generous of being, what's the opposite? Let's look for the generous, generoso, generous, 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 and the opposite. Let's find synonyms, antonyms, reserve, no, hombre, no. Dice aquí, the opposite of generous is conservative. ¿Cómo? Conservative. Bueno, conservar todo para mí, sí. Yeah, all for me. Stingy. Ahí está. Stingy roñoso. Stingy. All right. Noble, magnanimous, kindly, public-spirited, unselfish, charitable, liberal, giving, bountiful, open-handed. All right. Yes, big-hearted. Uf, qué corazón más grande tiene. Tiene un gran corazón. He's big-hearted. Richard the Lion-hearted. Aunque los británicos dicen con razón Richard the Lion-heart. Yes. Ricardo Corazón de León. In English, the British say Ricardo el Corazón de León. Richard the Lion-heart. And in America, we say Richard the Lion-hearted. Now, the British are correct, because he was English, of course. All my life in the United States, Richard the Lion-hearted. Hearted. Like left-handed, right-handed, open-minded. Richard the Lion-hearted. Here it says, La Encyclopedia Britannica, ojo, it says, Richard. By name, Richard the Lionheart or Lion-hearted. In French, Cœur de Lion. All right. Yeah, Corazón de León, like in Spanish. Interesting guy. But we say Lion-hearted in the States. And it sounds more correct grammatically. But I repeat, it's wrong. It's Richard the Lionheart. Richard the Lion-hearted, aquí en Amazon. There's a book. This is interesting. There's a book available on Amazon called Richard the Lionheart and the Third Crusade. All right. But what's interesting is next to it is the, in Amazon, de los libros, they repeat the title and they repeat it wrong. They say Richard the Lionhearted and the Third Crusade. The English King Confronts Saladin in A.D. 1191. All right. So, it's not clear. But nevertheless, to have a big heart, to be big-hearted, kind-hearted, generous. Yeah. But you will suffer a little bit because of that. A lot, no. But you'll suffer a little bit because of that. But if you're a strong person, you will understand the human condition. You'll understand human nature. And you'll take these things, as they say in Spanish, con filosofía. You'll take these things in stride. You'll take these things in stride. Escrito stride. I've explained stride many times. zancadas. Lo tomarás con filosofía, lo tomarás con en zancadas, se dice. To take something in stride. Yeah, stride. In Spanish. Zancada, tranco, paso largo. Okay. Yeah, but let's see, to take something in stride. A ver lo que dice. To take in stride. Tomarse algo con calma. Tomarse algo con filosofía. Ahí está. En Argentina, tomarse algo con soda. Okay. Hay que tomárselo con soda. Yo me lo tomo con soda. All right. I'm glad. So, it will backfire on you. Te saldrá por la culata. It will backfire. Generosity will backfire on you several times, many times in your life if you are always generous. But if it's being generous, often is a sign of being strong and being happy. And so you take it in stride and you understand the human condition. The resentment exists, envy can exist, people. But that's, to be the opposite is worse because you shrivel up into a raisin, a human raisin. Excuse me, Richard, I don't understand what you're saying. Well, the opposite of generosity, just being a stingy miser, you shrivel up into a human raisin. I have no idea what you're saying, Richard. Okay, shrivel, shrivel. To shrivel is marchitarse. Bueno, te vas secando y arrogándote hasta convertirte en una pasa humana. Una pasa, uva pasa, that's a raisin. Las uvas pasas, those are raisins. I don't like raisins, and they're too sweet. But you also have ciruelas pasas. Those are prunes, escrito prune, prunes. But las uvas pasas están muy, they're very small and very ugly to the sight. And that's what you become. You become a human raisin. If you are not generous. And that's how you live your entire life. So, it's your decision. You make up your mind. Tough decisions there, okay. No queda ninguno. Excuse me. No queda ninguno. There aren't any left. Curioso, en español se dice en singular. En inglés se dice en plural. No queda ningunos. There aren't any left. Sin embargo, si se trata de una botella, o sea, leche, se diría, there isn't any left. No. No queda ninguno. No queda nada de leche. There isn't any milk left. No quedan lápices. There aren't any pencils left. No quedan horas en el día. There aren't enough hours left in the day. I need more time to do what I need to do. Yes, sir, I'm falling behind. I need to catch up. I need to catch up on the things I need to do. Cualquiera de los dos valdría. Either one is okay. Well, which one? I don't care. Which one should I choose? Listen, Frankie, I need a pencil. You need a pencil? Yeah, can you bring me a pencil? Oh, well, Richard, listen, there are two pencils here, a yellow one and a blue one. Which one do you want? Well, are they sharp? Yeah, they're both sharp. Well, I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. Either one is okay. Cualquiera de los dos lápices me valdría. Either one is okay. Yeah, but which one? I said either one is okay. Just bring me one. Yeah, but which one do you prefer? I told you. You make that decision. I just don't like making decisions. Come on, it's too risky. This is simply a decision between two sharp pencils, so forget about the risk. Bring me the yellow one. Okay, thanks, boss. Here's the yellow pencil. Very good. Casi ninguno de ellos fuma. Hardly any of them smoke. Yes, of the 7,000 people I personally know, hardly only two of them smoke. Wow. Hardly any of them smoke. Yes. Yes. And there are between 7,000 and 8,000 people in my office right now. No way. Yeah. Right now, there are between 7,000 and 8,000 people in my office. That's impossible. 7,000 people don't fit in your office, physically. Well, it's 4,000 square meters. Well, no, in my private... No, I'm not speaking about the general office. I mean, despacho. I said there are between 7,000 and 8,000 people in my personal office. Well, that's impossible. You can't fit 7,000 people in your office. I didn't say 7,000. I said 7. I said there are between 7,000 and 8,000 people in my office right now. More than 7 and less than 8,000. Okay, now I understand. That's a play on words. That's a word trick. Well, it is, but I've won a few coffee bets on that. But people say, come on, that's not fair. Hey, is it fair or not? I remember I was in a baseball game many years ago, and I looked at around the stadium, and I said to my friend from the university, I said, there are between 70,000 and 80,000 people here. Probably there were about 30,000. I said, I'd bet there are between 70,000 and 80,000 people. They said, no way. But of course, then I caught him because I meant more than 70, not 70,000, and less than 80,000. I'll be right back.
Este verano aprende inglés desde donde quieras, con los mejores profesores del mercado. Summer Impact, un programa intensivo para ver resultados en poco tiempo, estés donde estés y con la calidad que solo Bauman puede ofrecerte. Llama al 91-133-5831 o entra en grupobauman.com e infórmate. El 1 de junio te esperamos. Summer Impact, este verano el método Bauman desde tu casa.
¿Quieres tener un profesor Vaughan? ¿Quieres tener toda la intensidad de una clase Vaughan desde casa? Te lo ponemos muy fácil. Clases Vaughan a través de videoconferencia. Una de las modalidades cada vez más demandada. Curso de inglés trimestral por videoconferencia. No importa dónde te encuentres. Con las clases a través de videoconferencia, tendrás tu clase Vaughan con un ritmo de clase brutal. Nunca te vas a aburrir. Nunca vas a perder la concentración. Pruébalo, dinamismo e intensidad. Llama al 91-133-5833. 91-133-5833. Eso si estás en Madrid, porque en Barcelona puedes llamar al 93-339-8687. 93-339-8687.
A ver qué hay que grabar hoy. Curso de inglés online de Vaughan. Nuestros mejores profesores, vale. Menos de 30 céntimos al día. Oye, menos de 30 céntimos al día. ¿Esto está bien? ¿Seguro? Vale, vale. Quédate en casa. Venga, lo tengo. Aprende inglés desde casa con profesores Vaughan. Ahora, el curso de inglés online de Vaughan por solo 99 euros. Por menos de 30 céntimos al día, tendrás a nuestros mejores profesores en cualquier momento en tu casa. Richard Vaughan, Ximena Holiday, Carl Miller, Alberto Alonso o Richard Brown te ayudarán a poner en forma tu inglés. Para más información, entra en la web cursodeinglesonlinevaughan.com e infórmate. Repito, cursodeinglesonlinevaughan.com. Quédate en casa con el curso de inglés online de Vaughan.
Menos de 30 céntimos al día, seguro, ¿no?
Lo que más miedo da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso Vaughan ha desarrollado las clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%. Contrata las clases telefónicas de inglés de Vaughan para tu empresa. Llama al 91-133-5831 o entra en grupobaughan.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to the coronavirus situation, we have transferred our teachers from the classroom format to the video conference format. Right now, over 3,000 Vaughan students are receiving classes regularly, both group classes and private classes, by video conference. So far, the results are very good. So good that many teachers say it's equally effective or even more effective. If you would like to take advantage of this option, simply go to our website, groupofaugen.com. It's the first thing you'll see when you open the website. Check it out. Take advantage of this option now during the period of confinement or later when the classroom option is once again available. With the video conference option, you can save up to an hour or more in travel time. And the results are the same and sometimes even better. Try it. groupofaugen.com. Si lo que quieres es resolver el inglés y no solo dar clases año tras año, llama a Vaughan. Somos los únicos que te diremos la verdad, te marcaremos el camino.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Again, and welcome back. We're back for our second half hour. Are you ready? Are you ready? Come on. Yes or no? Okay. Bastantes de ellos. Qué raro suena en español, pero en inglés no. Bastantes de ellos vinieron a la fiesta al final. Quite a few of them came to the party. I was surprised. Really? I mean, what kind of party was it? It was a party for the basketball teams. You see, this week, there's a basketball tournament in Madrid. And we have teams from Serbia, Croatia, Lithuania, Russia, Italy, Greece, Argentina, Brazil, China. And, of course, we have members of the NBA from the United States. And they came together for a two-week tournament, and the United States won the tournament, which is not usually a surprise. Second place was Serbia, third place was Spain, fourth place was Lithuania. The Russians lost, surprisingly, against the Brazilians. But in any case, we organized this tournament, and at the end of the tournament, we had a party for all the people. Now, we invited everybody. And we didn't expect anybody from the NBA to come, because they are above good and evil. Por encima del bien y del mal. They are above good and evil. However, we were pleasantly surprised. Quite a few of them came to the party. LeBron James came. Yeah. Stephen Curry came to the party. Yeah. And Pau Gasol. Of course, he's Spanish, but he's playing in the NBA. He came to the party. So quite a few of them. Cuando es sorpresa, se dice quite a few. In este caso, quite a few of them came to the party. More than I expected. In fact, I didn't expect anybody. But I was wrong. I was wrong. Casi ninguno de ellos fuma. Hardly any of them smoke. Hardly any of them smoke. Nos quedan bastantes frases, eh? We have quite a few sentences left. Yes, I will never run out of sentences here. My God. I have written so many sentences in Spanish and English that it's not even funny. Es una expresión que uso mucho. He hecho tanto, he gastado tanto que ni es divertido. Okay. I've spent so much money today that it's not funny. Or not even funny. And I use it all the time. It's my own... I didn't make up that expression. I've heard it many times, but people don't use it very much, but I use it a lot. So much that sometimes I use it in Spanish, and it sounds strange. All right, algunos de ellos fuman. Some of them smoke. Some of them. Un británico de summertime. In the summertime. Summertime. Some of them. Claro. Es curioso, el hispanohablante si dice algunos de ellos vinieron, por ejemplo, a la fiesta, casi siempre dirán son of them, o sea, hijo de ellos, son of them. No cierran la boca con some. No dicen nunca, casi nunca, some of them, cerrando la boca, y les cuesta, some of them. Pero luego no les cuesta en absoluto decir summertime. Y es lo mismo, summertime, porque están visualizando las palabras escritas en el summertime. But some of them son dos palabras diferentes, some of. And they visualize these words separate in their brain when they're speaking, and they mispronounce, they don't pronounce the M at the end of some. They say sun all the time. Sometimes. Oh, I have heard sometimes. Tiempos de sol, no? Sometimes, in vez de sometimes. So many times that it's not even funny. Really. Sometimes. Just, es que no le sale. Cerra la boca. Sin embargo, si cierra la boca cuando summer. Sometimes. Samuel. Ahí lo cierran en español. Samuel. All right. Tanto Pepe como Paco tomaron parte. Okay. Both Pepe and Paco took part. Really? What Pepe and what Paco? All right. Pepe el de la bomba and Paco de Lucía. Pepe el de la bomba. Who's Pepe el de la bomba? Well, he found an atomic bomb off the coast of what's the name of it? Almería. Yes. That's not Pepe el de la, that's Paco el de la bomba. Oh? Yeah. The same name as Paco de Lucía. That's Paco el de la bomba. Are you sure? Was it Pepe el de la bomba? Well, let's write it out. Let's see. Paco el de... ¿Ves? Sale automáticamente. Paco el de la bomba. Francisco Simo. Apodado Paco el de la bomba. Yeah. I wonder if he's in Wikipedia. Probably not. En Wikipedia está el incidente de Palomares. Many people today of the younger generations don't know what happened. What happened was an American jet carrying a nuclear weapon, carrying a bomb, crashed. Or the bomb lost control in the ocean, well, in the Mediterranean, just off the coast of... ¿Dónde estaba? Of Palomares, I think was the name of it. Palomares in Andalucía. Digo Andalucía. Well, in Andalucía, yes. In Almería. Or Murcia. El pescador. Francisco Simo Orts, el pescador radicado en Águilas, Murcia, que localizó la bomba caída de un caza bombardero americano en aguas de Palomares de Almería a comienzos del año 66. Él falleció, esto está fechado el día septiembre de 2003, okay. What's funny, I don't know if this is true, I'm not going to read the article in front of you. If you're interested, it's Paco el de la bomba. Paco el de la bomba, and so you can find it. If you're curious, you can find information. But the story I know is that this caza bombardero, this bomber crashed into the waters of the Mediterranean off the coast of Almería. And for many days they were trying to find this bomb, and they couldn't find it for I think for many weeks. Hey, during the break I'm going to see how correct I am or not. I'm speaking from pure memory. And they couldn't find it. And finally, I think they gave up. But Manuel Fraga Iribarne, Manuel Fraga, you remember him. Well, at that time, he was the Ministro de Información y Turismo in one of the Franco governments. And he went out and went swimming out in the beach with some of his assistants in Almería, off the on the Palomares Beach to show, hey, you can come swimming here. You're not going to die of radiation, poisoning. But then they couldn't find it. And finally, Paco said, well, yo sé dónde está. He was a fisherman. Just a normal fisherman. He knew perfectly. He said, come with me. And he went up. Paco El de la Bomba took all, after so many attempts to find it, Paco El de la Bomba, Paco El Pescador, Francisco, ¿cómo era? I can't remember. He found it. Well, he led them to it. It's right here. And he's called Paco El de la Bomba. So now, if you're not familiar with that story, I think you might enjoy reading it. I think you might. Creo que a lo mejor te gustaría. I think you might enjoy reading the article about Paco El de la Bomba. What? You know, you learn a lot of things, not only English with me. So, tanto Pepe como Paco tomaron parte en la fiesta. Both. Pepe and Paco took part in the party, or enjoyed the party. Tanto Canadá como Australia son países de habla inglesa. Both Canada and Australia are English-speaking countries. Tanto Juan como María opinan igual que yo. Both Juan and María agree with me, in my opinion. Ya, tanto el agua como la leche son líquidos. Both water and milk are liquids. Very different liquids, but they're liquids. All right. Both. Así lo decimos, tanto uno como el otro. Both this and that. Tanto esto como aquello. Both this and that. Tanto este como aquel. Both this one and that one. All right. Ninguno de los dos tomaron parte. Neither one of them took part, or neither of them. Two alternatives. Neither of them took part. Neither one of them took part. In what? In the search for the atomic bomb off the coast of Almeria. Yeah. Only Paco, el de la bomba, he took part. All right. Todo el mundo sabe que ninguno de los dos libros han sido traducidos. Everyone knows that neither of the two books have been translated. Oh, pero son tres. Oh. Los dos libros. Ah, okay. Okay, rectifico. Todo el mundo sabe que ninguno de los tres libros han sido traducidos. Everyone knows that none of the three books, he cambiado de neither a none, escrito none. Everybody knows that none of the books, everybody knows that none of the books have been translated. What books are you referring to? I'm referring not to three books, but to about 300 books written by Manuel Lafuente Estefanía. None of his novels have been translated, I think. But that's an interesting story. I wonder, because he wrote, I don't know how many, let's see, Manuel Lafuente Estefanía. I talk about him maybe once or twice a year, because it's so impressive, his books. And he was born in Toledo in 1903, and he died in Madrid in 1984 at the age of 81. He wrote ¿será posible? He dicho 300. He wrote 2,600 novels. Can you believe it? Fue un popular escritor español de unas 2,600 novelas del oeste, oeste americano, considerado el máximo representante del género en el idioma español. All right. También usaba seudónimos. Tony Spring. Cool. Arizona. Hello, my name is Arizona. Wow. Dan Lewis. Dan Luce. Escrito Luce. All right. Y para también novelas rosas. María Luisa this is difficult to say. My God. I need help on this one. María Luisa Beoriegi. Maybe it's Beorlegi. Con L, no, E latina. I can't tell. Cecilia de Iraluce. Ah, las novelas de Cecilia de Iraluce. Was really a man. Marcial Antonio Lafuente Estefanía. Okay, 2,600 novels. Can you believe that? That's incredible. And he started. Well, he was in prison. Yeah. Yes. This is interesting. Let me see what else. En inglés también viene en inglés. A ver si viene. All right, this guy. All right. During the Spanish Civil War, according to Lafuente's son, Marcial Lafuente Estefanía, let's see. But during the Spanish Civil War, he became an artillery general, general de artillería, in the Republican Army. Upon their defeat, he refused to go into exile. Senegal. No salía a exilio. Huir. And during the subsequent repression, he was incarcerated several times and nearly executed. Okay. Now, during the war, Lafuente Estefanía met humor novelist and playwright Enrique Jardiel Poncela, who advised him to write stories that would amuse people. Okay. As he believed it to be the only way to live off writing, which is probably true. Yeah. So, that was interesting. In the Spanish version of Wikipedia, it says, Jardiel Poncela le dio un consejo. Escribe para que la gente se divierta. Es la única forma de ganar dinero con esto. Very true, I think. Very, very true. All right, and he started writing. Al salir en libertad, okay, comenzó a publicar en CIES. En CIES. Okay, una pequeña editorial de Vigo. All right. Obras policíacas y románticas. This guy. Y las firmó bajo los seudónimos Tony Spring o Arizona. Tony Spring. Cool names, eh? Arizona. I especially like the name Arizona. And, y bajo el nombre de su esposa, ahí está la Beorlegui. Beorlegui. María Luisa Beorlegui. It sounds Basque to me. Y como se, Cecilia Ira, de Iraluce. All right. So it's, but this guy is, I mean, my hat's off to this guy. My hat's off to this guy. ¿Me entiendes? My hat's off to this guy. Es la forma, es una de las formas más corrientes para el chapeau, o sea, me quito el sombrero. O sea, mi sombrero está quitado ante este tipo. My hat is off to this person. My hat is off to this guy. Vamos a contraer. My hat's, apóstrofe, my hat's off. Así se dice. Y hay que hacer la contracción. Si no, no suena bien la expresión. My hat's off to this guy. 2,600 novels. Now, the novels are not very long, maybe 100 pages. A good friend of mine from Murcia sent me one about, I don't know, 6 or 7 months ago. Or maybe for Christmas, maybe for my birthday last November. I don't remember. And I read the first 4 chapters. I need to finish it. It's interesting, really. It was called No sé qué de Texas, Vaquero de Texas, o Hombre de, creo que se llama Hombre de Texas, Hombre de Texas. And it's very simple story, but it's an entertaining story. Huh? It's very simple. The plotting is not very, well, the plotting is okay. The what? The plotting. What's that? Okay. Plot, P-L-O-T, is la trama. Now, plotting is el diseño y desarrollo de la trama, de la novela. A good novelist, well, usually, in the Nouvelle Vague Française, la nueva ola, there were no plots. Ah, Les Belles Nuages, oh, they're horrible. I read some of these novels. I need a plot. You see, necesito un enredo, un argumento en la novela, en una trama. And so plotting is an art, to create a good plot in a novel or in a short story. So the plotting is very simple, straightforward. The events are forced a little bit too quickly in order to speed up, acelerar la novela, and to write the story. But it's good. I need to sit down and finish that. Yes. I need to finish it. My good friend from Worthia. Yes. I'll finish it. I promise I'll finish it. Okay. He sends me oranges sometimes. And this book. So I'll try to finish it. Marcial La Fuente. I have an incredible respect for somebody like this. 2,600 novels. Now, if every novel has 100 pages, then that's 2,600 times 100. Of course, well, then we have how many pages in all? That's 260,000 pages. Now, on each page, there are 250 words. So, how many words did he write in his lifetime? Let's see. Let's see if I can find it. All right, F7 times. That's, wow. That's 65, I think it's 65 million words. Déjame por los puntos en medio. Let's see. He wrote 65 million words in his life. Now, he didn't start writing until after his incarceration. So, this man, Marcial La Fuente Estefanía, he was born in 1903. He probably started writing in about 1941, after getting out of prison, because he was on the Republican side. He spent some time in prison in the post-war, at the beginning. So he probably started in 1941 to write. And he died in 1984. 51, 61, 71, 81. So he wrote for 43 years, let's say. All right, 43 years. So, if he wrote for 43 years, that means he wrote an average of, let's see, 1,500,000 words a year. Now, if he sat down every day of the year, well, let's say he spent 250 days each year writing out of the 365. Well, let's find out. So he wrote around 6,000 words a day. 6,000 words a day. And if each day he wrote for 6 hours, you know, so he was writing 1,000 words an hour. It's not difficult to write 1,000 words an hour, but 6 hours a day, 250 days a year for 43 years, yes. 1,000 words an hour. That's easy, but you have to have a subject. You have to have very clearly what you're writing. And you gain speed. It's funny about writing. El escribir, o sea, es uno llega a ser un jornalero de la escritura, a journeyman writing. It becomes just automatic. You're writing. And because La Fuente Estefanía didn't necessarily need to write in excellent prose, he was not interested in the Nobel Prize for Literature or the Pulitzer Prize or the, what do you call it in Spanish, the Premio Planeta. He didn't worry probably too much about style. He didn't use the synonym dictionary very often. He just wrote. But still, it's prodigious what this man did. I admire these things. Writing 6,000 words a day. I assume he worked maybe 250 days a year. But you know, there are 52 weekends. And each weekend has 2 days. All right, that's 104 days that are Saturday or Sunday. Plus Christmas, Easter, a few other holidays. 104, so you would say maybe 120 days. So it's realistic to say 250 days could be the number of days he actually sat down to write. And he wrote 2,600 novels. Maybe he used ghostwriters. Ghostwriters are negros en la lo que es escritura, en las novelas, donde el autor no escribe. Indica, orienta, pero otros escriben. Those are called, in English, in Spanish you call them negros, in Spanish, but in English we call them ghost writers, o sea, escritores fantasma. Alexander Dumas, the famous author of The Count of Monte Cristo and The Three Musketeers, he was accused of using ghost writers. Well, it doesn't matter. The books are very, very good. But in any case, I'm always fascinated by these people who have this prodigious ability to produce. But I have to take a break again. My time is running out. I'll be back.
Ahora tu profesor Vaughan desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Vaughan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los tres planes de formación en grupovaughan.com/clases telefónicas.
Okay, now tell me when to do 10 more push-ups.
I want to do 10 more push-ups.
Very good. Ask me if I'll tell you to do 10 more.
Will you tell me to do 10 more?
No, I'm going to tell you to do 20 more. Ask me if I care.
Did you care?
No, 20 more.
Come on.
Ahora, más oportunidades. Sigue entrenando tu inglés con tu mejor entrenador, un profesor Vaughan. ¿Por qué no aprovechas también ahora la hora de comer para poner en forma tu inglés? Apúntate a un curso de inglés trimestral por videoconferencia. Seguro que siempre has querido probar el famoso método Vaughan, pero no hay un centro Vaughan en tu ciudad. ¡Voilà! Aquí tenemos la solución ideal para ti. El método Vaughan en una clase por videoconferencia, con los profesores mejor formados para subir un peldaño tu nivel de inglés. Disfruta de todo el dinamismo e intensidad de una clase Vaughan ahora en videoconferencia y en una plataforma rápida y de fácil instalación. Nuestra avanzada tecnología permite que nuestras clases por videoconferencia tengan la misma velocidad e intensidad que una clase en el aula. En tan solo un par de clics podrás acceder a la plataforma y empezar tu clase. Y recuerda, prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿A qué esperas? Entra ahora en grupovaughan.com/clases videoconferencia. Fácil, cómodo y muy eficaz. Sigue poniendo en forma tu inglés.
Hello, I'm your Vaughan telephone class teacher. How are you doing?
¿Quieres que un profesor Vaughan llame a tus trabajadores? Con horarios flexibles y la posibilidad de cancelar o reservar cualquier sesión dentro de la misma semana. Elige el tema de conversación que tú quieras. Una conversación telefónica con un angloparlante con el ingrediente clave del método Vaughan para empresas. Consulta condiciones en el 91-133-5831. 91-133-5831.
Are you ready to start the class?
¿Sabes en qué consiste nuestro Summer Impact? ¿No? Te cuento. Es un programa intensivo para aprender inglés. Y la metodología es muy sencilla. ¿Cómo se aprende a hablar un idioma? Pues hablándolo. Escuchar, entender y contestar. Preguntar y responder. Así hasta que automatices el uso del inglés sin pensar. ¿Cuándo empieza? El 1 de junio. Y podrás elegir entre horario de mañana o de tarde. ¿Cómo son las clases? Por videoconferencia, en grupos de 6 personas como máximo. Solo necesitas un dispositivo con conexión a internet y podrás tener a los mejores profesores del mercado, estés donde estés. ¿Para qué nivel? Para cualquiera, así que cero excusas. Ya lo sabes, este verano apúntate a nuestro Summer Impact y podrás disfrutar del método Vaughan desde cualquier lugar. Para más información, apunta 91-133-5831 o si lo prefieres, entra en nuestra web grupovaughan.com. Empezamos el 1 de junio. ¡No faltes!
Hey guys, are you sitting around your home?